Well, thank you for having me here today. My name is Charlie Mashner, as Dave's just told you, and it's so good to be at Westside today. Unfortunately, none of you are here. I'm here in your empty auditorium recording this, but we're really glad that you're part of our BIC family, and I want to talk a little bit more about what that means today. We're in the midst of a pandemic, and so everything is just kind of upside down right now. I would have loved to meet a lot of you in person, but I can't do that, and hopefully I'll get a chance to do that sometime in the future. I want to tell you a bit of a story to begin today. Imagine this. It is the year 1854, and you are 5 years old. You are living in the streets of New York City, homeless, alone. No one wants you. No one cares for you. You are an orphan. Your world is a stinking slum, people jammed together in misery. Your clothes are rags, barely enough to keep out the cold and the wet. Your only friends are others around you just like yourself. They teach you to steal bread from unattended windows, to peddle paper flowers, to snatch ladies' purses on the street, and wallets from men who are visiting in the bordellos. Your life is meager survival from day to day. You wander the filthy streets as an urban nomad. Then one day, beyond your wildest imaginings, a man comes to you and tells you there's a way out. A way to a new life far from the slums and the streets. You go with him to a place where you are given warm clothes and food. Then you climb aboard a train which chugs its way into the heartland of the United States. Days pass and unfamiliar landscapes, forests and fields slide by the windows. What is happening to you? Where are you going to be? When the train stops at last, you get off and you're whisked away into the arms of a kind and gentle family who take you to a new home. They adopt you. They give you a new name. They make you part of their family and shower with you with things that you've never had before: love, acceptance, and security. This scenario is not just a fiction story, it's literally true. For nearly 100,000 children who endured the cruel nightmare and awoken to a fairy tale ending, the orphan train, as it came to be called, made it possible. In the last half of the 19th century, hundreds of thousands of immigrants poured into New York City. Families broke apart and many parents never reached America alive, leaving armies of young orphans to roam the city streets alone. Then a young minister named Charles Brace, appalled at the desperate plight of these youngsters, hit upon a daring strategy. Along with a small band of concerned adults, Brace began writing letters and sending flyers to small Midwestern towns which lined the railroad tracks in a straight line west across America. Stops were arranged, the train was advertised, and children were rounded up on the train with no specific destination in mind, with a blind hope that some compassionate family along the line would adopt them. The orphan train became a license to a new life for over 100,000 young people, a miraculous reality. Today, that story from history is more than just a sentimental story. It's a parable with a far deeper meaning for us who follow Jesus. Every Christian shares a little bit of the story of the orphan train. Every one of us, every person on earth, comes into this world as a spiritual orphan. We are lost, homeless, and alone. Yet some of us find our way to safety in Jesus. Through him, we become the sons and daughters of God, an image the Bible uses over and over again. We become followers of Jesus and are adopted into his family. And like the orphans on the orphan train, revolutionary changes begin to happen in our lives. Becoming a follower of Jesus involves more than joining a club or subscribing to an idealistic lifestyle. Much more. Jesus said it was as radical and jolting as being born again. The early Christians said the people who joined their ranks literally became new creations. So much happens all at once. It often takes years to try and figure out what that actually means. Before all this pandemic stuff came upon us, your congregation was in the process of going through a dating process with a new denomination called the Be in Christ. I'm the executive director of that denomination, and I come here to say to all of you today, welcome to the family. And I want to tell you a little bit more about this family that you're becoming part of. I like to think of denominations really that way, not as cold religious institutions, but rather as families, extended families with a story. It's not that one family is better than another family. It's just that this is our family, and this is our story. And if you marry into a family, you have to get to know all the relatives and all the stories. And as you get to know the person you love, you get to know their family and their story as well. And so on behalf of the Be in Christ extended family, we want to welcome you to our story. Who are these people that you've joined up with, the Be in Christ, the BICers, the BICs? From time to time, people call our office, and a little while ago somebody called up and asked me if I could give them some help with their new stylus. And of course, they were looking for the pen company, the BIC, the BIC pen company. We're not those people. We're the Be in Christ Church. We often refer to ourselves as the BICs. What I want to do today is not give you the history of a denomination. You can find that on our website. We have a brand new website, which I'd really encourage you to look at. It's called beinchrist.ca, and you can find out all about us on there. But I want to introduce you to our story through one verse and three words today. One verse, three words. Pretty simple, easy to remember, hopefully, for all of you today. Here's the verse, and this is from the King James Version. We don't use that very much anymore. But we like it as the Be in Christ in the King James because it has our name in it. Here's what it says. Therefore, if any person, man or woman, be in Christ, the Apostle Paul says, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. If you look at our BIC logo, you'll see that on our website. You'll also see that there's three words that we use to describe ourselves that really kind of flow out of the idea of this verse. We love this verse. And so the words are beloved, second word is belong, and the third word is become. Let me just unpack those a little bit today and unpack this verse a little bit for you and then say a word about Thanksgiving before we conclude today. First of all, the verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17, is where we find our denominational name, the Be in Christ. If anyone be in Christ, the King James says, it really is, the word is in the verse. If anyone is in Christ, if you read it in the New International Version or any other translations, it says if any person is in Christ, they are a new creation. Historically, we've always understood that becoming a follower of Jesus is couple of things. It's first of all, it's believing in a set of truths. It's understanding who Jesus was, why he came in history, his identity, the character of God, and why God sent his son Jesus into the world to die for our sins. We believe in something. But being a follower of Jesus is more than just believing in a set of ideas. We understand it to be a lifestyle as well, a relationship that we have with Jesus. Even though we can't see him physically present, we experience him in much the same way we would experience the wind. And we can feel it and we realize it's a real thing, but we can't see it. And so we have a relationship with Jesus and we become his followers. Followers of Jesus were first called Christians. Followers of the Messiah, Christ ones. That was at a place, Acts 11:26 tells us, a little place called Antioch, which was becoming the center of Christianity at that time in the early church. The context in 1 Corinthians 5, when you read this verse, is our reconciliation to God, how we've been made right with God, put back in right relationship with God through Jesus and through our belief in Jesus. And then the decision to follow means we're in Christ. And so this verse really talks to people who have decided to follow Jesus, not just believe in him, but also to follow him. When I think of this verse as BIC people then, three words begin to flow out of this. Now, if you've ever played charades, you know how this goes. You would say first word, and then you would go seven letters. You know, first word, seven letters. First word is beloved. Beloved. That's the word we think flows out of this text. If any person be in Christ, they are a new creation. To be in Christ fundamentally means to understand that you are loved by God. I don't know if we ever in our whole lives begin to fully comprehend what that means. As Christians, I was always taught in youth group that I was supposed to, as a follower of Jesus, love everybody. That was a great propositional idea. But one youth worker came along and told me, well, I like to think of it more as like. Like is even a stronger word, I think, than love. You can kind of love everybody, but when you're told to go out and actually like people, and when you understand that God just doesn't love you, but that he likes you, it's a far different concept when you understand love in that way. Tony Campolo one of a Christian speaker from a few years back, used to say that God has a picture of you in his wallet. That's kind of an old thing. I think you're his screensaver now. You're on, on the phone. When somebody's phone pops up, like, your picture's there. He thinks that much of you. He loves you. You are beloved by God. There's a worship song, I'm dating myself again, that used to go, I'm not a good singer, but it used to go, I am a friend of God, I am a friend of God, we repeat it. He calls me friend. It's from a passage of scripture, John 15. And that's literally true. Jesus says, I've not only called you servants, but I've called you friends. I invite you into a relationship with me. I like you. When we really begin to understand, it makes all the difference in the world. And then it begins to transform our communities. I hope that all our BIC congregations are living into this story. And there are places that are saying to people, we like each other and we like you and we want you to understand how much God loves you and how much we love you. It should be evident in the way we treat each other in the congregations that we're part of. It should be evident in the way we treat each other as individual followers of Jesus. It should be evident in our lifestyle. I think at the end of the day, we're all looking for love. And we go looking for it in all kinds of places. At our heart, the Bible implies that we're looking for love and wondering if God is loving us, is willing to love us. We've made a mess of our lives so many times, and we wonder if we can be loved. I talked to a person this week that was dealing with a health scare. And they told me, and I didn't solicit this at all from them, but they said to me, I think I was going to hell. He said this to me. I think I was going to hell, and I have to make some changes in my life. He was looking for love. He was trying to understand how he could have a relationship with God where he understood that he was loved by God. And so the first word that flows out of this verse of scripture about being a new creation, if any person is in Christ, means that you're loved by God. You understand that in a personal way, and you understand it together as a corporate way here at Westside. Second word, six letters, belong. You're beloved, and then secondly, you belong. It says, if anyone is in Christ. So we have is, or be in Christ, and then the little word in. You are in Jesus. You're in, you're not out. You're an insider to the story of what it means for God to love you. Now, belong is a powerful word and a powerful concept, I think. It literally means to fit, to fit, to feel like you fit in, that you are accepted and welcome, and that you can be at home. Occasionally, our family does puzzles, usually only on vacation, and my kids mock me that I'm getting really old when I start doing a puzzle. They're just not into it, although when we start doing the puzzle, it's funny how they are like kind of just attracted to come in and start trying to find some pieces. If you get a really hard puzzle, all the pieces start to look the same. And you keep trying to push the pieces into place to see if they fit. And so many times, they just kind of look like they should go somewhere. But when you finally find the right piece, it just kind of snaps in there. It just fits. And that's what this concept is about. It means that you fit. You find a fit with God's people. We're finding these days that more and more people decide to try and fit before they figure out what they believe. They belong before they believe. And so they don't know what they think yet about Jesus, but they're looking about at how you treat them, at the welcome that you give them as a church. People will often participate in some kind of cause that you're part of in serving or blessing your community, even though they don't believe yet. They're looking to see if they fit or if you accept them. Now, this is good work to be part of, and I'm not naive. It's very difficult work Because the odd thing about Jesus is he opens this story up, this family up, to everybody. Like, that means everybody. And Henry Nouwen says, community is the place where the person you find the hardest to love is there all the time. That person is there all the time. And you know, and I know, that helping people to fit is the great challenge of our lives and the great challenge of our life together as churches. Trying to help people to find how they fit in and to treat people with love and acceptance, even though sometimes they're hard to love. As a pastor, I would have people come to our church, and immediately sometimes I would identify them and say, that person is going to be a little bit harder to find a fit with us. And sometimes people were grumpy. Sometimes they had irritating social skills. Sometimes they weren't as clean as some other people in the congregation. Some people had not been introduced to deodorant. And these things kind of presented some barriers in kind of building this sense of belonging and fit. And we had to keep reminding each other that belonging wasn't easy, but it's just like so important because we're all longing to fit in. When I came to the congregation I pastored, our son was about 7 years old. When my son was 4 months old, my oldest son, Ben, was 4 months old, he contracted bacterial meningitis. And he became very desperately ill and was left profoundly disabled. He never functioned at a higher than a six-month level his whole life, and he lived to be about 19 years of age when he passed away. When we went to the new congregation that we were called to serve in the Be in Christ, it was an interesting experience. And Ben was never verbal, but he made all kinds of sounds, and he loved music, partly because we played music around the house, and he loved to sing around, and he would make loud guttural sounds. That was his way, I think, of singing. So he would come to church, and some certain worship songs would just seem to set him off, and he would start literally yelling in the service. So he was sitting in his wheelchair, usually beside my wife, because I'm up on the platform, and she's trying to get him to quiet down. She's got her hand over his mouth, she's squeezing his leg to try and get him to, you know, to settle down, and he's just yelling. And we're struggling to feel like, what are we going to do about this? And people just responded with such grace. Person after person would say, just let him sing. Just let him yell. We'll just sing louder. We felt like we belonged in that moment because there was grace to be different. That's a little bit, I think, about what belonging is really all about. To be BIC, being Christ, means you're beloved, it means you belong, and finally, it means that you can become, the third word. Following Jesus is about becoming, and this is where 2 Corinthians 5:17 really kicks into high gear. It says, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation or a new creature. The old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. When you are in Jesus, when you're loved by Jesus, all kinds of new possibilities begin to emerge. John Lennon used to have a song that described his relationship with his spouse as every day was like just starting over, he would say. It'll be just like starting over, and we'll fall in love again today. It'll be just like starting over. In a lot of ways, that's what it means to follow Jesus and to come into a healthy community. It's just like starting over. Our past is not held against us. The possibilities of the future are limitless. I believe God has placed gifts and skills in each of us that he wants to use to bless other people. When you become a follower of Jesus, he accepts you exactly how you are and loves you the way you are. But he begins this process of transformation as you begin to understand how loved you are and how accepted you are. You begin to understand what you can become when you're loved. And so if, as followers of Jesus, the normal Christian life is always a life of growing. Now, I love figures of speech. We have lots of them in Canada. Let me give you a couple of examples. You use all the time. One would be, it's raining cats and dogs. when it's really raining heavily outside, people come in out of the storm, and they say, it's raining cats and dogs out there. There's a story to why that came about. I won't tell you today. You can look it up online if you want to. People say in the summer when it's so hot out there, I thought I was going to melt. Well, you know, literally, you're not going to melt. It's a figure of speech. But one that people use a lot is this one. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. In other words, an old dog is either too lazy or too set in its ways to learn something new. Its mind and its habits are fixed and made up and cannot be changed. And so people use that figure of speech as an excuse for just kind of regressing into a lethargic spirituality and kind of a no-growth posture. And they just give up on any kind of positive change in their life. I'm too old to learn to use a computer. I've pretty well heard everything about the Bible there is to know. I'm a meat and potatoes person, and none of that exotic new food with new weird names for me. Newsflash today, I want to leave with you. You are not an old dog. You are not even a dog. You're a human being with limitless possibilities. And Jesus says to you that you are a new creation and you have all kinds of possibility. You can learn to read new books. You can learn new things. You can have new experiences. You can meet new people. You can try new food. You've always got something to give, no matter how old you are and you have your mind. If someone needs you to listen to them, you've got something to give. And my prayer for you at Westside is that you would be a becoming congregation where people say those people are just open to new possibilities and growing all the time. I could tell that your pastor's like that, and I hope that you're following him and being like that as well. So there you have it. That's what it means to be, in my opinion, BIC. To be loved because you are, to belong because you do, and to become because you can. Welcome to our BIC family. We're glad that you're a part of it, and I want to take opportunity today to just welcome you into our family. Now, this is Thanksgiving weekend as well that I'm here today, and so I want to just conclude with a word about Thanksgiving today and share with you a little video that's really been important to me. This video that you're going to see in just a moment is kind of a hokey kind of thing, and sometimes hokey is just kind of dumb and you kind of set it aside, and then there's these hokey kind of things that just kind of endear. If you look at some of the Peanuts comic strips about Charlie Brown, you can find out how many editorial problems and video problems there were. They're just horribly spliced together and they jump around and they're just so endearing. We watch them all the time at Halloween time, the story of the Great Pumpkin. At Christmas time, the story of Charlie Brown's Christmas. This video is a little bit like that. It's kind of hokey. It describes a chair that keeps popping up. You'll see it in the video all the time. And the chair just keeps popping up all the time. And when I first saw the thing, I thought to myself, this is kind of a strange video. And then I watched it, and it just kind of hit me. And I keep watching it all the time, and it never is very far from me because I remember all the time that I have an opportunity to choose to be grateful. And I can choose to just to complain, especially in the midst of a pandemic when we've got a lot that's frustrating us and making us fearful and sometimes really uptight and almost angry, or I can choose to be grateful. And so this Thanksgiving, we all have a choice. I have a choice. Am I going to sit in the Thanksgiving chair this Thanksgiving and right on after Thanksgiving? Thanksgiving is our only virtue-based holiday. You know that? All the other ones are built around some historical event, but this is a virtue-based holiday. It's a character thing that you're supposed to equip yourself with. And gratitude goes up the scale, and we say we need to build it into our lives. So today, I invite you to sit in the Thanksgiving chair. Enjoy this video today. Thank you for having me with you. Happy Thanksgiving.